It's good to be with you all today. It's wonderful to see your faces all looking back at me. What a treat. Now, let us listen for what the Spirit is saying to us in this reading from the Wisdom of Solomon. May we all gain wisdom. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them. In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be a disaster, and their going from us to be their destruction. But they are at peace. For though in the sight of others they were punished, their hope is full of immortality. Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy. Like gold in the furnace, God tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, they were received. In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble. They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and God will reign over them forever. Those who trust in God will understand truth, and the faithful will abide in love, because grace and mercy are upon holy ones, as beloved children over whom God watches. Here ends the reading.
The second reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 29th verse and ending in chapter 12, verse 2. When I first got this lesson to read, I thought there should be a parental warning with it. Listen for God's word to us today. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenching raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken the seat at the right hand of the throne of God. the word of the Lord.
The third reading is from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4-9. Listen for God's word to you. Rejoice in our God always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. God is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Happy birthday, First Press, and welcome to the party. And welcome especially to our honored guest, to Jane Odell, who is the, are you still the interim stated, transitional Synod executive, and Joy Lee, who is our non-transitional executive presbyter. And of course, to the very Reverend Nan Swanson, who is former pastor here. So welcome to you all, and welcome to us all on this birthday. As my mother would say, 125 years is not nothing. So here we are on our birthday, which is also, of course, All Saints' Day. And we are surrounded by saints, by those that are seen and those who are unseen, saints known and held in our hearts, and saints known only to God. Today we experience that old patriotic truth, e pluribus unum, though many, we are one. And nothing, nothing, not even death, can diminish that fact. On All Saints' Day, we celebrate our belief that all saints, that our saints, live on. They live on in the ways that they have shaped our lives, and they live on in the presence of God who is with us now. Welcome to the communion of our saints. Take a minute to think of your own pantheon of saints. Parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, all those who have affirmed your humanity, all those who have helped you to understand that you are deeply, deeply, and truly a beloved child of God. Against all the forces of society or of nature that have sought to contradict or to diminish that truth, who are your saints? Our own departing saint, Anne Steinle, last week, when she left us with this quote from the great civil rights leader, Vincent Harding. She said, Vincent Harding said, "I would call us to see and appreciate this great cloud of witnesses who are like a great cheering squad for us. In the midst of everything that seems so difficult, that seems so powerful, that seems so overwhelming, they are saying to us, we are with you. And there is a way through it. There is a way to stand. There is a way to move. There is a way to hope. There is a way to believe. Don't give up. To know they are present is to know that regardless of how alone we feel sometimes, we are never alone. Nowhere, no how, in nothing, never. Last week we celebrated Reformation Sunday. We ended the service with a rousing chorus of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which was brought into sort of a shocking relevance by Ananda's stunning sermon. 500 years ago, after Martin Luther wrote it, well, they were just the words that we needed to hear and to sing together after the devastating series of weeks for our country and for our world that we've been living through. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth shall triumph still. God's reign endures forever. God's reign endures forever. If we believe this, then we must be filled with hope. A hope that is a confidence beyond all the evidence to the contrary that we see every day. We are convinced that it is only in so believing and in acting on this hope that there is any chance for change. This is the hope of the evangelist who said, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Well, with this in mind, I was really gladdened to read an article in the LA Times by science writer Casey Cole, who summed up a surprising truth of conceptual physics. It goes something like this: you can't touch something without being touched in return. Yes, that's physics. You can't touch something without being touched in return. Now listen, the article's title was "A Smooth Life Without Resistance Just Wouldn't Work." Why? Because they say it's pushing back that allows you to push on anything. If I pound my fist on the pulpit, it hurts. Because the pulpit pushes back. Without resistance, life would be untenable. Life would be unlivable. You wouldn't be able to dance. You wouldn't be able to play musical instruments. You wouldn't be able to play sports. You wouldn't be able to hold hands with your lover. You wouldn't be able to put pen to paper or fingers to computer. You see, we've been thinking of resistance as an impediment, when in fact it is a driving force. So then last Sunday, when we celebrated Reformation Sunday using the language of conceptual physics, we celebrated that time when Martin Luther and others like him created resistance in both the church and the world. The corruption and the depravity of the church, injustice, collusion with forces, with the oppression of the time, friction finally kicked in. And they resisted. They resisted, and they launched a breathtaking reform in both church and society. Resistance, friction, reform. This is the work of the saints from generation to generation. And as the generations march on, this is the work of which we are heir and to which we are called, because though many, we are one. We are one with the saints. To be a saint today here at First Press Palo Alto, as it has been for the past 125 years, to be a saint today is to be sort of in a vortex of this sort of resistance, this pushback against the common values of the day, causing friction, Does this sound familiar, First Press Palo Alto? Causing friction, resisting fear, which is the opposite of faith and love, resisting racism and transphobia, resisting anti-Semitism and prejudice, resisting greed and violence of every sort, resisting the negation of any human being's intrinsic value, the immigrant, the refugee. Resistance is indeed a divine force, for the Apostle Paul writes, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Focus on these things. Someone once said that this is what makes a saint: extravagance, excessive love, flagrant mercy, radical affection, exorbitant charity, immoderate faith, intemperate hope, inordinate love. Now and again, we come across someone who passes along some glimmer of truth, some help in living, some illumination, someone offering resistance to a deep downward spiral. We call them saints. Their lives are those that have touched us so that we might touch in return, becoming then ourselves saints. And so again, look around you, for they are us. Yes, there's a saint sitting right next to you. Look and see, to your right, to your left, in front, and behind. Even you, even us, simple acts of resistance. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel wrote these very familiar words that you'll probably recognize: just to be is a blessing, just to live is holy. But that's only part of what he wrote. He went on saying, and yet being alive is no answer to the problems of living. To be or not to be is not the question. The vital question is how to be and how not to be. The tendency to forget this vital question is a tragic disease, a disease that may prove fatal. So on this, the celebration of All Saints Sunday, and appropriately our 125th birthday, let us continue to pray for the courage to be the people that we have been called to be in this place, like the saints of old, clinging to the single hope which can absorb all despair, and the single love which binds all immortal and mortal life together, a hope and a love we find as beloved children of God and as brothers and sisters of Jesus the Christ, so that we may do as our ancestors would have us do: resist, reform for the glory of God, to be a blessing to the world, until with them we are made partakers in God's eternity. May their memory, and especially the memory of 125 years worth of Presbyterian saints right here in Palo Alto, quicken our resolve to live and walk in the light, and with them ask God to bless our own acts of Presbyterian resistance. Feminist social activist L.R. Nost adds this benediction in charge: do not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world.
all things break, and all things can be mended. Not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you. Amen.